I'm going to call the State Government Finance Committee to order. Members, in your packet, you have the minutes from February 28th. If Representative Ward wants to move the minutes.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Representative Ward moves the minutes for February 28th. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the minutes are adopted. Members, we have two bills on our schedule today. The first one we're going to start off with is House File 445. We're going to lay this one over for possible inclusion in the omnibus state government finance bill. And I also do have an amendment. If Mr. Gehring, you want to just walk through amendment quickly for members.
Madam Chair, members, so the amendment is labeled H0445A1. And largely what the amendment does is just do some technical cleanups, primarily to the page 2 of the bill, the transition language for what the bill is doing. The underlying bill is doing is eliminating the state auditor's enterprise fund and instead having the auditor be funded through the general fund. And so these are all technical changes in the amendment that make sure that that process is transferred appropriately. And page 1.8 and 1.9 of the amendment are some blank appropriations that want to be filled in later.
Okay. Members, any questions to that amendment? All those in favor of the A1 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the amendment is adopted. Members, to the bill itself, I was listening to the committee tape from 2013 when, just to kind of give you some historical perspective, these are the days where Representative Kahn and her historical knowledge of what's happened at the legislature came in handy. But she had chaired the committee several years, and so she knew the situation quite well. And originally, the state auditor was given the authority to have a special revenue fund, and then it was discovered when Governor Arne Carlson was the state auditor that he had used some of those funds for remodeling of his office. And in response to that, as well as some other issues, then the legislature said, no, we're going to make sure that the legislature has full oversight over the office. And so they took it out of a special revenue fund and put it back into a general fund so that the committee itself and the legislature as a whole would have oversight of it. And then in 2013, there was a move then to put it back into a special revenue fund. And it's been that way since 2013. And I am as making this bill, what it does is it takes it out of the special revenue fund and brings it back into the general fund so that the legislature would have greater oversight over the audit fees, greater oversight over the functions of the state auditor, and be able to provide the review that the legislature is assumed to have overall. So that's what the bill does, and I see that State Auditor Otto is here if she wants to come and testify to the bill. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and who you represent.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm the Minnesota State Auditor, Rebecca Otto, and I represent the people of Minnesota. So, yes, Representative Kahn used to tell stories about Arne Carlson and remodeling. But she was okay with us going to a special revenue fund in 2013. There were additional reporting requirements put in place where annually the committee is provided with the audit rate schedule. And so it's actually Minnesota Management and Budget that approves the audit rates, not the legislative committee. So it doesn't give greater oversight to put it back into the general fund. It simply, and it still has a reporting requirement around our audit rates, which are public information. I don't think the bill is in the proper shape if you're going to put it back into the general fund, but I'll let the staff find the error. So anyway, or I can tell you where it is. If you really want to put us back into the general fund, what you need to do is amend on page 2 in subdivision 4, line 12, rather than by the fund, it's not a fund anymore. It's not going to be an enterprise fund. So you'll want to change it to, let's see here if I have it. There's let's see here. That needs to be corrected. I can't find what you should change it to, but that's still referring to an enterprise fund and will no longer be an enterprise fund with this bill. Oh, I know it is. So rather than paid by the fund, it should you should insert related to such examinations would put it back in the proper form.
Mr. But I'm not on the committee, so. Do you want to comment to that? Or?
Madam Chair and committee members, yeah, I guess I would defer to the committee to decide whether that's an appropriate change or not. I think if you keep fund in there, it seems to me that that could also just refer to the general fund appropriation. So I'm not sure that that is incorrect the way that it is, but the technical correction that the auditor suggests also might be workable.
Okay. I think for at this time what we'll do is we'll give you a chance, Mr. Gearing, to look at it greater down the road. We are just laying the bill over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Great.
So, Madam Auditor, any other comments that you wish to share?
Yeah. So there was actually two good benefits to the enterprise fund. One was that it was going to stabilize audit rates for the local governments that we audit. And by law, we're required to charge for the costs of conducting the examinations. And so the counties and cities and whoever else we audit won't have that advantage at this point if this goes away. So that was for them. They appreciate stabilized audit rates because it helps them with their budgeting process. And I believe last year when this bill came up, I saw one of the county folks go up and say we prefer this change not to happen. The other issue is we're currently in a lawsuit, which you're aware of. So I'm trying to think of anything else. So I just wanted to – the other piece, too, I'll share with you is we do get petition audits from citizens for local governments. And there's a process for them to petition our office to conduct audits, which we had a lot of during the downturn. And then we also can conduct request audits, which local governing bodies can pass a resolution to have us actually conduct their annual audit. And so by the enterprise fund gave us the flexibility we needed. If we needed to flex, we could do that to manage workload. The other issue, too, is that we're hearing from some cities around the state that they're having a really hard time finding qualified firms to audit them. So what we've always been able to do is to be there in case that's the situation. And that's been reported to me by a Government Information Division staff. They work with the 853 cities in Minnesota. So this would not allow us to accommodate additional duties if necessary, you know, as allowed for in law. So it takes away that flexibility. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention as well, so it may cramp our ability to conduct those audits when they come to us.
Okay, members, questions for Madam Auditor? We've got Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is probably directed more towards you. As I look at this bill, and we return the auditor's office to the general fund, and I sense that it was general oversight issues that you were interested in. Is there anything specific that you're trying to resolve or address in this bill, or is it more generic kinds of stuff?
Thank you, Representative Johnson. It's more generic overall. I think that it is better for us to have the oversight over the state auditor's budget since we are responsible for putting together the general fund budget for the state auditor. I think in so that's just the main piece of it. But I think that there's some other issues, too, that have arisen throughout the past couple of years, too, that would give us a greater oversight role, especially when there's the expectation that the legislature is providing this oversight, and this would give us that ability to provide the proper review. So, Representative Johnson, any follow-up?
No.
Okay. Representative Uglum, excuse me.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, just to that point, actually, I did get an email on this from one of my constituents, and the comment was, what is a special enterprise fund? I think that many people that are voters out there that are you know, just walking down the streets of Champlin or Coon Rapids or St. Paul, for that matter, have no idea what an enterprise fund is. And the gist of the constituent's concern was, yes, that the legislature, he thought that the legislature had control over all of these budgeting issues. And in the context that we do have to put together a total budget, that's what I explained to him. I thought it was a good idea. Thank you.
Members, any other questions for Madam Auditor at all? Great. Thank you.
Madam Chair, can I make one comment on his comment?
Sure.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So accounting is not something that the general public necessarily wants to understand, or government accounting. But if you have small business people or business people in your community, they would understand it. Enterprise fund accounting is actually like running a business. And so you track your revenues and expenditures together. And generally, since we are required to charge for our services, you can see the revenues and, you know, the expenditures and receipts that we get side by side. So it actually was easier for the legislature to understand. And so it's a business concept that actually makes a lot of sense. And since I come from a small business, it makes sense. But it's appropriate also for the government accounting standards. But I don't think you've ever lost oversight over the Office of the State Auditor. We continue to report to you annually the financial activity within the enterprise fund, so the committee gets that. We provide you with the hourly rate schedule for the auditors that are working in our office, and the local governments get that as well. So it's purely transparent, and there have not been any issues whatsoever around the audit enterprise fund. And the legislative auditor is there to audit that, so there aren't any issues with it. It's been run very well, and we have CPAs doing that. So just to assure members, there have been no issues with this enterprise fund. It was there to benefit the local governments that we audit, to help them around their budgeting cycle, to stabilize audit rates. It's a lot easier for them. So anyway, that's just, I wanted you to be aware of that, and it will have an impact on them.
Representative Uglum.
Madam Auditor, yes, I'm fully aware of that because I come from big business, not small business, I guess. And so I'm aware of what your accounting procedures are and everything else. I'm just concerned about the average voter. Thank you.
Members, any other questions for Madam Auditor? I do have some concerns, though, because we are responsible for providing oversight. We have invited you or a representative from your office to come before this committee, and we've not had anybody show, which it makes it difficult for this committee when members have questions for your office and not having anybody show up for the committee hearing.
I'm sure I'm right here.
To provide that information. So I think from the oversight perspective, I think that this gives us greater oversight over your committee, and hopefully that will encourage participation overall.
Madam Chair.
Madam Auditor.
Mm-hmm. When have I not shown up to committee when you've had a hearing?
Madam Auditor, in 2016, you did not show up. I don't have the exact numbers how many times that we asked you to come, but I'll look through my records and provide that to you and to the committee as a whole.
And, Madam Chair, I think we worked to provide to the members of the committee the correspondence when you were requesting that we come before the committee, and that was after the 2015 legislation, the county audit law. And as we made clear in our letters, it was our job to carry out our duty, but there were certain things we were not able to discuss. And someone had asked last hearing if they could see that correspondence, and I believe that has been sent to the members of the committee so they could see the correspondence between you and our office. And the my general counsel last hearing explained that there are reasons why sometimes you can't discuss things. And so it wasn't, there were no aspersions cast around the work that we do and anything financial. There were no financial issues. It was really a question around that new law, which we were not able to testify on. But there has never been a question about the management of funds in the office. So I just wanted to make very clear for the public who's watching, who cares deeply about the work that we carry out on their behalf, that we have professionals in the office, that we do our work on their behalf every day, and we do an excellent job. You also get lots of reports on the office, so that you, and I know that you have been in the switch system through fiscal staff watching every transaction of the office, so I know that you have been watching and providing oversight. And it is my job on behalf of the people that have elected me to carry out this work. I am the state auditor. So I will continue to do that job as long as I'm in the office. And if there is any issues, the legislative auditor would be looking at that.
Madam Auditor, like I said, we'll get you the details on the committee hearing. I know of at least one that you didn't show to, and then we'll provide that to the committee as whole. But I have Representative Nash that has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Auditor, can you tell me, in your opinion, what is the extent that the legislature has oversight of your office?
Madam Auditor?
I'm not going to. You all appropriate money, and you sometimes will modify policy. So we have three branches of government, executive, legislative, and judicial. So executive, we go and do our work and carry out our work with the authority that we have in statute, and our duty is to the people that we've been elected to serve. And we make sure, my job is to make sure that the numbers add up in government and that there's accountability and transparency with $20 billion a year. I certainly don't, I can testify on policy, which is part of the transparency piece, and the public hearings, due process for the public when you all are considering policies. I'm here today to testify on behalf of what's happening with this bill. And that's it. But there's an auditor that audits the executive branch. That's their job. So that's it. It's I don't think there should be micromanagement on either end.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Madam Auditor, so you do agree that we have oversight for policy?
Madam Auditor?
No, you said policy.
Madam Chair.
Representative Nash.
Madam Chair, Madam Auditor, you said policy.
When I asked you what you had,
what your expectation or your opinion on our oversight was, you mentioned financial audits, and you said then you guys do policy. So just wondering.
Madam Chair.
You just said that a couple seconds ago. So.
Madam Chair and Representative Nash, I'm not sure what you're talking about. You all set policy and you appropriate funds.
Okay.
And my duty is to the voters of Minnesota, Madam Chair, and Representative Nash. I answer to them.
And then, Chu, just for your information, Madam Auditor, it was actually this bill last year that you didn't show up to testify. But any members, any other questions at all? Thank you, Madam Auditor. Appreciate you coming by today.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Is there anyone else in the audience that wishes to testify to House File 445? Welcome to the committee. If you can please state your name for the record and who you represent.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Bob Kamen from Sudan, Minnesota, small town up on the range.
I've been there.
And my wife and I are retired, so we come down here and watch our legislators in action. And I've noticed over the last few weeks, there are little things that come up now. I think most of us understand this. People that get funding from taxes would like to have it dedicated rather than come out of the general fund. And then, of course, our citizens want to have our legislators watching where the dollars are going. But just a couple days ago, we sat through a hearing. We have a wonderful little program. Those of us who live in the townships, the small towns, where the state of Minnesota will mitigate our wetlands. And you might ask, what does that have to do with the auditor? Well, the money comes out of the general fund. And it's not a lot of money, 10, 20 million bucks. They do a little wetland mitigation for us counties and townships, and everybody's happy, except the last few years, the funding fell through the cracks. You know, at the end of the last session, things died in committee, the bonding didn't go through, and all of a sudden, they're set, all these little counties and townships, they've got road projects ready to crank up this spring, and they don't have money. And so we sit here with most people agreeing that program should be funded, but it's not. And so I'd point out that if we're going to force the auditor to get funds from the general fund every year, it looks like there's room for starving out the auditor for political purposes. And I say this as someone who worked in the mines, living in an old mining community. Mining has a lot of clout in Minnesota, and I think what we're seeing is a little battle. The mining industry wants to teach the state auditor a lesson. I think the state auditor is a valuable position. Our little township, I'm sure we don't have a criminal in Sudan. We've got nice, honest township clerks there. But still, it's nice to have the auditor keeping an eye on what's going on. And so as a citizen, I think we should let the auditor accumulate those funds from their activities rather than running it through the general fund and ending up with the wetland situation again. Thank you so much for letting a citizen speak.
Mr. Hammond, I have always wondered who you were because I have seen you in many committees, and so now I know who you are. And Sudan Mine, I've been there several times. I think it's a great community, and that's a hall and a half that you came today. So,
well, Madam Chair, my wife Pat and I are down here a lot. And I like to say, as somebody who lives up north, you know, it's typical we blame the people down here for using us for a playground and not funding us. But I know that every now and then we find a way to make money run uphill from St. Paul to Sudan. And we appreciate the support from the metro area. We have a new state park up there, and it was a little contentious. But, you know, a majority of the people in our community supported that state park. It's a benefit for the state of Minnesota. And our dutiful Senator Bach helped us out with a PILT. We appreciate PILT, payment in lieu of taxes. Mm-hmm. And so I know I've gotten off the subject of why I came up here, but if you could send more PILT to Sudan, that would be fine. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Hammond. Is there anyone else that wishes to testify to this bill? With that, I am going to lay over House File 445 for possible inclusion in the Omnibus State Government Finance bill. Excuse me. Members, in your packet, you also have House File 599. This is Representative Vogel's bill. And we are going to lay this one over as well. Representative Vogel.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and unfortunately, I don't know if I can humor you as well as the last presenter. I have been at the mine.
You should have recruited him to testify for you.
Yes, or build a personality to a nerd banker. I don't know. Madam Chair and fellow committee members, House File 599, just for a little perspective, the way I've looked at this one is it's kind of the process is kind of like a three-legged stool. When you're doing financial things, you need to be looking forward, using that information, and then looking back. What we currently have is the look back. We have the OLA. We have, using the information, we have House Financial Fiscal Staff. But what we in the House and the Senate don't have is our own part of the look forward, the gathering of the information. And House File 599 completes that team. This is not to imply that MMB does not do a good job of what they are doing. Rather, by enacting a legislative budget office, the House and the Senate will have our own independent body looking at the numbers and making what I consider to be a complete structure for financial management. And they can also be there, of course, to assist in other duties in times when they're not necessarily needed for doing fiscal notes. So this isn't just about fiscal notes. It's about having a complete body of people that can provide the information they need. It's also important to remember that this will most likely be an evolving process. This isn't something where you can just enact it and all of a sudden it just takes off and does its own work. I think I wasn't here for the start of the office of the legislative auditor, but my suspicion is that when that was first done, that it needed to be organized and put in place, and yet without that information now, I think we'd be sadly lacking in the information that we need to make good decisions. So I draw an analogy back to that to say, as we look at this bill, this isn't an immediate thing that has to be done in an instant and develop perfectly right away. It's going to evolve and it's going to be used. The bill also has broad bipartisan support, both in the House and, as you can see from the authors, as well as the Senate, where it has the Majority Leader Gazalka, Minority Leader Bach among its authors, as well as the House leadership. So with that, I'd certainly be willing to take questions. I see that we have a testifier that probably will give a little different perspective from MMB, and maybe that might lead to some discussion as well.
Bless you. I think at this point, if Ms. Kelly wants to come forward, we will have her speak, and then we'll go to questions after that. Does that sound good?
Sure. Thank you, Madam
okay.
Chair.
Welcome to the committee, Ms. Kelly. If you can state your name for the record and who you represent.
Thank you. My name is Margaret Kelly, State Budget Director with Minnesota Management and Budget, and I also am considering recruiting someone from the Iron Range in Sudan to do my testimony. Thank you for the opportunity to comment on House File 599. House File 599 does two things. It creates, first, a legislative budget office. Second, it transfers oversight and responsibility for fiscal notes from MMB to the executive, MMB and the executive branch to the legislature. And I first want to speak to the creation of the budget office. I can appreciate the legislature's desire to have staff who can track and assess the fiscal implications of legislation and to provide a balance to the executive branch. You already have that. Both the House and the Senate fiscal staff, who are nonpartisan and work for your committees and track fiscal impact of legislation and committee actions, are doing that work. And nonpartisan fiscal staff provide a check on the analysis and assumptions of the executive branch with our forecast, with the governor's budget recommendations, and with fiscal notes. They do this work. If the legislature were to combine their fiscal staff between the House and the Senate, you would have a single legislative budget office. House File 599 creates duplicity, within the legislative branch by having three offices doing similar work. And it creates duplicity within the executive branch. MMB has a constitutional responsibility to ensure we adopt a balanced budget. To meet this responsibility, we will continue to review and assess the accuracy and reasonableness of completed fiscal notes. We will continue to track the impact of legislative activity on our state budget. Our work will not change materially. I also want to speak to the oversight of fiscal notes. MMB has been responsible for managing the fiscal note process and reviewing and approving completed fiscal notes since they were established in 1974. While the system may not work for everyone with every fiscal note, it does work. We have evaluated and assessed our process twice in the last 7 years, both times at the legislature's request. The most recent evaluation was an audit conducted by the OLA, and I'd like to highlight two takeaways from the OLA audit. First, that the system isn't broken. While there were some recommendations for improvement overall, they found and concluded that the process worked well. Second, they stated it is unclear whether moving the fiscal note process to a legislative budget office would result in a better outcome at all. The fiscal note for this bill, completed by the Legislative Coordinating Commission, suggests that timeliness of fiscal notes may not improve with the Legislative Budget Office. MMB has implemented all of the recommendations from the OLA, and there are a few recommendations that remain to be implemented, but they are outside the purview of our agency. Finally, I'm concerned that putting the responsibility for fiscal notes with the legislature may challenge the nonpartisan nature of the office you're trying to create. The fiscal note for that that the Legislative Coordinating Commission completed suggests that at times the staff of this office may do their own research to generate a fiscal note and not rely on the expertise or of those currently managing a policy area. The audit by the OLA reported that legislative staff may feel pressure to conform their finding to the legislature's expectations. I believe the nonpartisan fiscal staff of the House and Senate currently provide a check and balance to the current process, and I'm concerned that we could lose that with the creation of a legislative budget office. And I'm happy to take questions.
Okay. Members, questions for Ms. Kelly? Not I have questions. Ms. Kelly, you just mentioned that you thought that maybe the legislative budget office would feel pressure to provide the answers that maybe the legislature is looking for, not what the actual real answer is. Do you feel pressure
to provide answers that are favorable to the governor's initiatives.
Madam Chair, two things.
When I say you, I mean MMB.
Two things. One, the comment I made was simply reporting the findings that the OLA had in their report. That was based on interviews they had with legislative staff. Secondly, my staff take enormous pride in the nonpartisan nature of the work that they do. And they continually push back on agency assumptions to ensure that they are accurate and reasonable regardless of whose language it is.
And so you feel no pressure to provide an answer that the governor is probably more favorable to otherwise?
Madam Chair, we feel take great pride in providing the accurate response.
Okay. And then also, I'll see if anybody else has any questions. I apologize. Okay. I'm also interested, too, in the fiscal notes process. And I think one of the concerns that I've had is the varying degree of the fiscal notes. And we've had, Representative Crescia had the bill on Israel. And when you actually compared it to, a similar bill, the difference between the two fiscal notes were stark. And even just looking at the stadium bill the other day, I'd gotten a fiscal note on that stadium bill, and it listed the value of the suites. I believe it was $75,000 for the value of the suites, where in all reports that you see, the value of the suites are anywhere from $200,000 to $300,000. And not $75,000. And there's just been concerns overall. And I think that's why you have the legislature and Representative Vogel looking for a different alternative. That's just more of a comment than a question. But members, any other questions before I let Ms. Kelly go? Great. Thank you, Ms. Kelly. Appreciate your testimony. Representative Nash, you've got a question for Mr. Vogel. Representative Vogel.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Vogel, question. We've heard and we've all experienced you run to committee to present a bill, and in your inbox is the fiscal note that actually came in while you're presenting your bill. And it's frustrating. Do you think that this is going to solve that problem?
Representative Vogel.
Madam Chair, Representative Nash. I wouldn't want to attest that it's going to solve the problem because I'm not sure. As I said, this is going to be a work in progress, to be honest with you. And my hope would be that since this office would be an arm of the legislature to help us figure out the best way to make decisions, that eventually we get to that point. But to tell you that I believe that the day after enactment or the first session that we have this thing, that we're going to have quicker fiscal notes probably would be a little misleading, because I do think that we're going to have to work on it. The key is the long-term good impact that I believe this would have for our system and our process, the objectivity that it adds to the system, so that when we do get the fiscal note, that it's totally independently prepared and it can be questioned independently as well. And I think that's really important, because we're basing our decisions for the budget on those fiscal notes. And the accuracy is always going to be subjective of sorts, because nobody knows what the answer is until after you look back and say what it actually cost. But to have somebody there really scrutinizing with the for the legislature independently, I think is one of the bigger benefits that we might gain, rather than maybe initially even in the timeliness.
Representative Nash. Okay. And Ms. Kelly, can you come back? I just had a question. Remind me again, how many FTEs currently provide the fiscal note process for MMB?
Madam Chair, there are about 30 staff in the budget division, and about 12 of them have responsibility for reviewing and approving fiscal notes, but that is not all that they do. We have a broad scope of responsibility from preparing and presenting and compiling and publishing the governor's budget, both the operating budget and the capital budget, in addition to fiscal notes. We also work on the forecast, just released yesterday, both in November and in February. We maintain and publish the fund statements that go along with the forecast. We review and approve agency spending plans. We review and approve internal service fund rates, similar to the state auditor's rates. We implement legislative funding decisions in the state accounting system. We work closely with the accounting services and debt management folks within MMB to monitor agency spending and ensure it's consistent with legislative decisions. We publish quite a number of reports, mostly at your request, price of government, or reports that are required in statute. Consulting and training with state agencies is something we also do around the use of data and performance metrics. So we have a broad scope of work, and what we've quantified in the fiscal note is the amount of time that staffs commit during the legislative session to reviewing and approving those fiscal notes, and with the movement of the office of that activity from MMB to a legislative budget office, we would continue to do much of that work. We simply would not be signing off on the fiscal notes.
And Ms. Kelly, so how do you, when you go to each agency and you're asking for their information for putting together the fiscal note, how many of those, I assume that you have a liaison for every single agency, so how many liaisons are your, do your fiscal note preparers go to for each agency?
Madam Chair, we simply enter the fiscal note into our system and we assign it to agencies. And so within the system, an email is then sent from MMB to that agency saying, you have a fiscal note to complete. Here it is. Here's how you can access it. Within the agency, how they have structured themselves to coordinate the work on fiscal notes differs from one agency to the next. So we don't have a set number of folks that we communicate with. We ask agencies to sign up the staff that they need to have access to the information when their agency gets assigned a fiscal note.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Ms. Kelly.
Thank you.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As long as you're there, do you have people within your office that interpret the law, so to speak? So I'll just give you the example instead of doing the question and answer. Within one of the funds, the legacy funds, it is law that agencies cannot receive those funds if they're not in compliance with the law. And the legislative auditor had released his report and had determined that certain agencies were not in compliance with the law. And apparently MMB went over that and said, yeah, we think it's a little vague and we're going to allow it anyway. Is that the purpose of your office as well?
Ms. Kelly?
Madam Chair and Representative, I don't think I would describe MMB's action in the same manner that you have. My understanding is that the legislature asked MMB to provide guidance to agencies on what they could use legacy funds for, what types of expenditures, and MMB provided that guidance. The legislature then asked the OLA to review agency use of funds and determine if they used it in a permissible way. And their decision on whether or not it was permissible was a much narrower scope of uses than what MMB had provided agencies guidance on. So the OLA felt that whether or not an agency had misused funds could be interpreted in two ways, either by their narrow determination or MMB's more broad determination, and in turn asked the legislature to make a decision about whether or not funding should be continued.
Representative Green?
Madam Chair, so then you, the answer to the question is you do have experts in the law with inside MMB that determine the law?
Ms. Kelly?
Madam Chair, legislature writes law, and it's up to agencies like MMB and every agency to interpret what that law means. And we do our best to do that. If we are unclear, we consult with legislative staff to make sure we have interpreted correctly. If we are still unclear, we will go to recordings to listen to what the intent behind the law was. If it is still unclear, we will sometimes reach out to members themselves to try and gain clarity on how to interpret the law. But you write the law, and we do our best to interpret it.
Representative Green?
And then just one last question. Then the legislative auditor then had determined that, or requested, I guess, for lack of a better word, that the legislature clarify that law. Would you be on board with that, too, that we get some language in to clarify the law?
Ms. Kelly?
Madam Chair, I think it would be great if the legislature were to simply say what is permissible and what is not.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ms. Kelly. Representative Vogel, you've got the final word. Any other comments you want to share?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I think that, you know, as you look at the bill itself, it starts out the line that in Axis it says the Legislative Budget Office is established under the control of the Legislative Coordinating Commission to provide the House and the Senate with nonpartisan, accurate, and timely information on the fiscal input. Pack of proposed legislation without regard to political factors. And that really capsulizes what this is it's an office that's being set up to help us make better decisions. Now, as I was sitting there before, I know there's a cost to doing this and that's some of the hesitancy, and I'm not sure if this is one, if you look at the all funds budget and look at how much would be spent on this office, I think it comes out to 0.001% of the all funds budget. Now, $1.6 million over a 2-year period is not an insignificant amount, and I take that very seriously. But I also look at this and think that if indeed we can establish this, and it does as well for us as things like the OLA have and the fiscal staff have already, and we end up making better decisions, to have spent 0.002% of our all-funds budget and invest that in better information that helps us make better decisions is certainly worth doing, as well as adding the independence and the objectivity that such an office would bring. So with that, Madam Chair, I appreciate the hearing, and we'll close.
Thank you, Representative Vogel. And members, we're just laying House File 599 over for possible inclusion in the Omnibus State Government Finance Bill. And with that, members, we are adjourned.